We're looking at our text once again. By the way, how many people read through 2 Peter? Let me see your hand, the faithfuls. What about the rest of you? Who genuinely forgot? Okay, so you didn't forget, but you didn't read it. What is it? Let's 2 Peter. It doesn't take long. 3 chapters. How many think 3 chapters is a lot? Come on, 3 chapters, 2 Peter. Let's read it once a week, if we can, and just get it into our spirits. We're going to read the first 4 verses once again, and today I want to give you a third installment of the message that we started a few weeks ago. This is part 3. And a very, very, very important message, because I'm praying that we get this. I really do, with all of my heart. I'm praying that we get this because, as I said last week, it will mean the difference in your Christian life forever. It really will. It really will. And so we're talking about, you must know, it's not an option. You must know not only what you believe, but who you believe. You must know who you believe. And those that have been following the last few weeks know what I'm talking about. You must know who you believe, because everything hinges on that. Everything hinges on that. Okay? You must know. So this is part 3. Let's have a look at our text, and then we'll get into... And by the way, you know, in my studies in 2 Peter... What I want to do is bring it home to where we're living. And, you know, we can just go through a Bible study. And how many know that Bible studies by themselves can be dry as chips? I mean, how many times can you eat dry chips? But we don't want Bible study to be dry chips. We want this to be a living word. Come on, I don't know about you, but I need a living word. I want to know how to do it today. I want to know how to do it tomorrow. I want to know how to do it on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Amen? Amen. So that's why I'm digressing a little bit here and there, not just going through, oh, well, this is what Peter said, and this is what we think it means. Let's go home. No. I want to know how I can do it with my hands. I want to know how I can do it with my feet. I want to know how I can implement it on a daily basis. Are you with me today? Okay, so let's have a look at the text and then we'll get right into it. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right at the beginning, we said that word servant is not just servant, it's slave. Some versions say Simon Peter, a bond slave. And we preached about that, but we don't understand it. And here's why we don't understand it. We don't understand it because we don't do it. And because it's not our experience, we won't understand it. And so we think we serve on the basis of, well, if we are prepared to serve on that day or prepared to serve in one way or another, God should be happy with our service. It's different to bond slave. If you missed out on that message, go back to it. It's online. To those who have obtained a faith equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life. Everything we need for life is in Jesus, the power that He gives us. But not only for life, but it talks about for godliness as well. So if we want to live well, He's given us the power to live well. If we want to be pleasing to God, He's given us the power to be pleasing to God. He's given us that power. We don't go getting it somewhere else. It comes from one source. Give me amen. Amen. So He has granted to us this particular power, by which He has granted to us His precious and great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Our believing, our faith, we said last week, must include knowledge. Not just a believing in Jesus, but a knowledge of Jesus. These two must be married. And when that happens, there is a born-again experience. When that doesn't happen, if it's just an intellectual thing alone, it doesn't happen. If you just said the words of the prayer, the sinner's prayer, and by the way, the sinner's prayer as we know it is in the scripture. It's not a bad prayer, but it's not a scriptural prayer. I'll just leave that with you for another time. However, if we say the prayer as an intellectual exercise, it doesn't result in salvation automatically. Let's understand that. There needs to be a believing and a knowledge, and they too must come together. We need to then advance from the initial knowledge to growing in that knowledge. And it's sad to see and sad to know, and I've been doing this for 40 plus years, probably closer to 50 years. I'm giving myself away a little bit. It's sad to see that some people have crossed the line into Christianity and have never grown, have never matured, have never progressed. And there's something wrong with that. And it shouldn't be you. And I pray that it's not you today. So there needs to be a progression. Because 2 Peter 3:18, the very last verse of this particular book, but grow in the knowledge, the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Notice those words, we're coming back to them later. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We also said last week, and we talked about three phases of a relationship that matures and grows, any relationship. And we also said that if that's the way a relationship grows, our relationship with the Lord Jesus grows, Christ grows in a similar manner. We talked about that last week, so I'm not going to repeat it. All of these phases of the relationships that grow in a natural sense are also applicable in a spiritual sense, and they're essential. They're essential. And we went through that last week. We finished with the key to growing in your relationship with God and deepening your knowledge of God, which in turn, when you are growing in your relationship with God, growing in your knowledge of God, in turn, it releases grace and peace. How many need grace and peace on a daily basis? I don't know about you, but I do. I need more grace and I need more peace every day. Every day. You know, I sat with people and say, I just want to be happy. I just want to be peaceful. And sometimes we're looking in the wrong places for that peace and for that happiness. The Bible says it comes from one source. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have a relationship with him and we know him, grace and peace come with the package. Come on, shout amen. But not only that, when we have a further knowledge of him, there's a release, there's a power for life and a power for godliness. It all comes together. We used to sing a song 40 years ago. I don't think I've heard it since. Somebody help me today. Some of those old chooks over there somewhere. We used to sing a song, "The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you, loving you, serving you." How many remember that song? Wow. Is it 40 years old or not? At least. It's probably 50 years old. The greatest thing, and you know what? It shouldn't just be a song. And I didn't realize the connection of those three parts of this song, knowing you, loving you, and serving you, all connected. And you'll realize how they're connected by what I'm going to say this morning. There's an incredible connection in the parts of this song. You see, what activates the key that we talked about that last week, the manifestation of God in our lives, is keeping his commandments. When we decide once for all that we are keeping his commandments, out of that, Jesus tells us, he will manifest himself to us. Could it be, as much as we want to know Jesus, and as much as we want to love Jesus and serve him and sing about him and all that sort of stuff, could it be that it doesn't happen simply because we haven't decided once for all to put him number one in our obedience? Because you can sing about knowing Jesus until the cows come home, until the moon turns blue, and it will never happen. Because we said last week that the key to knowing Jesus is not wanting it to happen. It's not reading the Bible, although reading the Bible is essential. It's not praying. It's keeping his commandments. That for me was lights going on all over the place just a few weeks ago. You don't have to strive. You don't have to become a theologian. You don't have to study the Bible for the next 10 years. Although that none of those things are bad. Learn to keep his... Listen, you're going to avoid a lot of problems. You know, avoid a lot of circumstances, a lot of situations, whether it's personal, whether it's marital, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your relationships, broader relationships. You will avoid a lot of problems and circumstances and situations if you simply learn this simple truth. Keep his commandments. Keep his word. How many think that's such difficult truth to understand? Sometimes the simplest things are the things that we don't do. And then stuff goes wrong. We think, why me, God? Well, it wasn't God that put you down that path in the first place. Don't start saying, why me? You might need to say, what do I need to do to change? And begin to change and get it right. Am I speaking to somebody here this morning? All right, amen. So, you know Jesus to the extent that he reveals himself to you. And I thought to myself, I need something in the word that will help us to illustrate how all this works. And I was prepared to go into it, you know, all the different variations of studying it and all that sort of stuff. And I kid you not, in the middle of the night, I don't know why it always happens in the middle of the night, but this particular night, this is a few nights ago, I had a sore stomach. Has anyone ever had a bad stomach in the middle of the night? But this came out of nowhere. I had this sore stomach and I thought, where did that come from? And it just woke me up and kept me up. And I'm trying to turn and toss and turn and toss and turn. I thought, it's not going to happen. However, out of this sore stomach, and God dealt with that, believe me, God dealt with that, came the revelation. And I thought, okay. However, but this came in the middle of the night and all came together. I want to share it with you today. Are we ready? An illustration of how all this works out of the life of Peter himself. We're going to look at three revelations that Peter had out of three separate encounters, and the middle, the second one is two in one, if you like. And what happened to Peter, the results and the consequences of these encounters that will show us what it means to begin to know God, to have a revelation of a love relationship with God and what that means and how that works. You ready for it? One person. Thank you, Zach. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you ready for it? Yes. Amen. Let's have a look at the first one. You know, the amazing thing is that Peter began one way and he ended up a different man. How many know that? Peter was impulsive. Peter was insecure. Peter had foot and mouth disease. You know, he used to get his foot in it all the time. Peter was Peter. You know, he's first to speak up, first to regret what he said. All that sort of stuff was Peter. He became an incredible apostle, strong, firm. He lived and died. He died for Jesus Christ. How did he go from humble beginnings to an amazing, powerful apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we're looking at. And I noticed a few things. And it begins with Luke chapter 5, verse 8. This is the first one. This is revelation number one. Let's read it together. Luke chapter 5, verse 8. It says this. But when Simon Peter saw it, I'll come back to what he saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me." This is so powerful. "For I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, the context of this is that Jesus had a crowd following him, and they wanted to know more. They were hungry for his teaching. And the Bible says that they were pressing to hear him speak. And he was beside the lake. And of course, we know that the voice carries over water. Jesus knew that before we did. And he saw two boats, and Jesus deliberately picked one boat. It was Peter's boat. He gets into the boat, goes back from shore a little bit and delivers his message. The Bible tells us that at the end of this, he says to Peter, throw out into the deep, throw your nets into the deep. And we know what follows that. Jesus said, Peter said, we've toiled all night, but at your word. So that's the context. Okay, that's the context. Now, here's the revelation. When Simon Peter saw the catch of fish that they got at Jesus' word, something happened to him. His eyes were opened. And all of a sudden, he saw Jesus no longer as a man, and he saw himself in relation to what he saw or what he realized. He had a revelation of the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ. He had a revelation of the purity of Jesus Christ. He had a revelation of the power of Jesus Christ. And when he saw himself, a reflection, he saw himself, all he could see was a desperate, sinful man. Let me tell you something. That's where it begins. If a person doesn't have a personal revelation of the glory of God, of his rightful place, of the majesty of God. He is Creator God. You're not God, he's God. While you think that you're God, while you think you can do it however you want to do it, while you think you can live the life or however you want to live it, it's not going to happen until you bow the knee and say, "God, I am a sinful man," because of the revelation of what you got from him. It all begins there. Peter changed after this. He saw the majesty of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, the power of Jesus. This is no ordinary man. And immediately he saw his sinful condition. Similar to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. "I'm a man of unclean lips." Friends, he had a revelation of who Jesus really is and who he really was. That's where it starts. Listen, if that hasn't happened in your life, you are not born again. Can I be that frank? Come on, you know me. If you have not had a revelation of who Jesus is in all his glory and majesty, and you as just simply a sinner, you are not born again. It all begins there. Give me a good amen. A glimpse of the glory. And me, I'm but a sinful man. I'm a desperate sinner in need of a Savior. Desperately in need of His mercy. Desperately in need to get right with God. And I pray that if that hasn't happened to you, it will happen today. I'm a sinner desperately in need of the mercy and the grace of God. And guess what? I need the mercy and the grace of God, not just when I got saved years ago, but I need it also today. But it began years ago. That's the first revelation, and a necessary revelation. At this revelation, Peter surrenders as a sinful man. And guess what God can do with a surrendered sinful person? He doesn't leave them there. The Bible says that there's a transformation takes place. And that person is transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Everything becomes new and they become a child, born again child of God. If that's you, I want you to shout amen. Now that was quite a poor, you know. Come on, let's pretend that we're in a mission somewhere. Shout amen! Amen. Yeah, that's you. That's you. Out of this revelation that you need right at the beginning. And so he was transformed into a new life, a life of purpose. And that's when Jesus after this says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Listen, Peter wasn't ready to do that before this. And he had been following Jesus for quite some time, something like about a year and a half. But even though he had been following Jesus for about a year, year and a half, he wasn't ready for what Jesus said to him. But out of this revelation, he was able to hear what Jesus said to him and he was ready to follow. How about you? How about you? Follow me. Come on, give me good amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's God's way or your way? God's truth or your truth? At your word or at our effort? That's what it is. And listen to me. At our effort, the result is no fish. And it reminded me of that verse where Jesus said in Mark 8:36, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? At my effort, the result, the end result is nothing because we can't take it into eternity and we just got a few years on this earth to get ready for eternity. And I pray that you're listening to this because you can make an effort and achieve nothing out of that effort. You can do all sorts of things to make yourself better. You can chase all around the world to find peace and grace and all that sort of stuff, but you're not going to find anything. You can get all the money in the world and at the end of it, have nothing in return. At my effort, nothing. But at your word. Come on, everybody, say, at your word. You see, at my effort, there's fear and insecurity. There's different feelings. There's ups and downs. We hate people. We love people. The government's after me. Everybody's after me. My friends have left me. I've left them. All sorts of stuff are happening because of my efforts. At the end of the day, my efforts add up to nothing. But at your word. At your word, it's a different way of living. You can live at your effort or you can live at His word. At your word, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want of anything. At your word, my God, help me out, shall supply all of my need. At your word, I am a blessed man. I'm a blessed man because I don't listen to the people that are scoffing and I don't sit in the seat of sinners. That's why I'm a blessed man. Amen. At your word or at your effort. You choose. You choose. What's it going to be? And so Peter chose. Lord, I'm a sinful man. You're God. I've just seen something of your glory. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And of course, we know that the relationship took on a different turn after this. and so can our lives. Listen, that's the beginning. And if it hasn't happened, a person is not born again. Number two revelation that Peter had. And this is two separate experiences, but the same result. Okay, one result. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 says this. And he said to them, this is Jesus, but who do you say that I am? Remember the context of that. Okay, who do men say that I am? And some said, look, you know, some say you're a prophet, some say you're a teacher, and some say, you know, you're somebody came back from the Bible times and whatever. He says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, Simon Peter replied, verse 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, notice this, blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah. Notice this, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Listen, you will not know Jesus unless he reveals himself to you. He will not reveal himself to you unless you put his word into practice. Are you seeing the pattern? What follows is the transfiguration in chapter 17 of Matthew. Verse 4, it says, and Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents. What this means is three tabernacles, three places of worship. Okay? Peter, again, you know, impulsive. What am I going to do here? He was freaked out of his mind. He didn't know what was happening. You know, I think this is a good idea. Let's do this. It may not be the best thing to just act on impulse, is it? Anyway, if you wish, let's make three tents, three places of worship, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And verse 5, he was still speaking. Sometimes there's a time to talk and a time to shut up. So Peter is shooting stuff off his head. You know, I think we'll do this and I think we'll do that. The Bible says he was frightened out of his mind. He didn't know what to say or do. And all God wanted him to do is keep quiet. So God interrupts him. All right? He was still speaking when, behold, the bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. You're done with listening to all the other voices. Listen, somebody needs to hear. Listen to him. Listen to him. And so the revelation here is that of the deity of Jesus. He had a revelation of the deity. The result is a holy fear and reverence. Worship to the Lord. The result of the first one was a glimpse of the glory and the majesty of who Jesus was. This goes one step further. He's not just that, he is God. Make no mistake, Jesus is God. Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, focus your attention on him. Huge revelation. He had a holy fear that went to the next level and reverence. That's why he said, let's make three tabernacles. Reverence of a holy God. You are Simon, but you are blessed in knowing who I am. And again, another glimpse of the deity and the majesty of him. You see, I am the rock. I am the eternal, the immovable, the unmovable. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am everything. Something happened with Peter. He went from one level to another level, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Did Peter do it? No, it was Jesus that revealed himself to him as Peter followed him. Let's go to the last one. Revelation number 3. And please, I really want you to get this. I really want you to, because it ties it all together. Revelation number 3 is after Jesus' resurrection. John chapter 21 and verse 15. It says this. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, you might have heard messages on this, and I'm not going to preach on it. And scholars differ in terms of what he meant by these. Do you love me more than the fish and the vocation of fishing? The trust in what that brings you? Or the other side of it, do you love me more than these, the disciples and the relational side of things? So do you love me more than people that are important in your life? Do you love me more than these, the vocation in your life? Yeah. Peter, I need to know. And of course, the answer that Peter gave, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then he asked him again. And the same answer. You know, 3 times, you know that I love you. Here's a question here. Here's a question. How many times have you told Jesus? How many times have you sang? How many times have you prayed the words or sang the words, you know that I love you? Jesus, you know. I sing it. I pray it. You know I love you. I go to church. You know I love you. I've been a Christian for 20 years. You know I love you. I'm a good person. You know I love you. I do stuff in the church. You know that I love you. Last week we noted what Jesus said about this in John chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, which he repeated in verse 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know I love you is not enough. Please listen to me. There must be a follow through. Keep my word. And therefore, the answer of Jesus, tend my sheep. Of lambs first, and then he said, feed my sheep. It was based on his love for Jesus. But his love for Jesus must be married with the obedience of Jesus. Don't just sing. Don't just pray. And don't just say, you know I love you. It doesn't cut it. Tend for my lambs and feed my sheep. You see, obedience is the evidence and the proof of genuine love. And so in this particular revelation number 3, the revelation here is of the heart of God. Whenever you have a one-on-one with God, he's going to talk to you about people. Check me out from Genesis to Revelation. Whenever there's a heart-to-heart, it's about the people that God wants you to reach out to or minister to. So his revelation here was about people. Amen? People. It's a revelation of the heart. You see, the first revelation was about his glory and his power. The second revelation was about his deity. The third revelation is about his heart, which is his mission. And if it's his mission, it's
our mission.
We forget that we're not here to have a glory time at church. And we're not here to sing a few songs. And we're not here to have a religious experience. We're here on mission. And the mission is people. A revelation of the heart of God happens right here. It's here, the third revelation, where again, Peter's relationship with God went to a whole new level, new meaning, new dimension. He became a man on a mission devoted to a purpose and a cause. And relationally, Jesus formed an unbreakable love bond with Jesus. So much so that he lived and died for Jesus. Can you see the progression in all of this? Amen? There's a progression in it. You see, mission in the Christian's life is often missed. And by often mean the majority. Mission in the Christian life is missed because it doesn't kick in at the first revelation, where we become born again, we realize who God is and that we, in fact, need to bow our knee to the Lordship of Jesus. It doesn't begin there. And it doesn't begin when it's followed by a revelation of his deity, which is all necessary, and his Lordship, which causes us to have a trust and a confidence in him and a fear and a reverence of him. All of that is good and necessary. But it cannot stop there. The third revelation kicks in when you can truthfully say, you are Lord, because at the same time, you are ready for mission. Because if you're not ready for mission, you don't know his heart. And if you don't know his heart, you can't call him Lord. This is where Peter learned to relate to Jesus at the love level. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 brings it out beautifully. The first part of the verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ, it talks about because Jesus died for everybody, everybody died, and then they need to hear the message of the life of Jesus so that everybody can live. And he says, we do this because the love of Christ controls us. And the word is, leaves us no choice. That's what happened to Peter. He was controlled by a love bond with Jesus, which compelled him into the mission of Jesus. Listen, discipleship's all about going to fulfilling the mission, not just somehow getting more knowledge of the Bible. My heart is that we go from one level of knowing Jesus to the next level of knowing Jesus to the third level of knowing Jesus, where we understand that love equals adopting his heart and his mission as a disciple. Pastor Ree, I just came here for a bit of an encouragement and a pat on the back. This is the encouragement. Let's get it right. It's not about you. Not about your blessing. It's not about all your good things that you are going to get from Jesus just because you came onto his team and you called yourself Christian. Yes, the benefits are there.
But the revelation of him moves you from glory to glory, from faith to faith, until you understand that your life is not about you, it's about him and his mission. And you haven't got much time. This is where he leads, you follow. This is where you get comfortable with the fact and the truth that the cost of following Jesus is come and die. I'm sorry. That's where it's at.
This is where it's never too much, never too uncomfortable, and never too demanding to fulfill our service for our Lord Jesus Christ. This is where you're done with self-serving, and you've crossed over to becoming a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see why few people get there? Hey, I pray that we have some revelation today, that some lights are starting to go on. Less of me, more of him. You want to know Jesus? One day, if you really want to know Jesus, he's going to show you his heart. And when he shows you his heart, it's all over. And it's not about you anymore. Is that okay? It's not about you anymore. It's about becoming his hands and feet, his voice. Mission. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Let's stand. Let me just pray for you. There may be some of these things that I've been talking about today that echo in your mind and heart. And you may want to talk to somebody about that. You can talk to me about that. Because Christianity is not following a formula. Not having a little blessing here and there. It's a commitment to follow Jesus. Come what may. Because it's not about you anymore. It's about him, his purpose, and his mission. God so loved the world. That's why he gave his son. And you're in it to get some of that world on side, but not on side. To be transformed like Jesus was transformed, but not just transformed, on the same mission, so that we can gain one more into the kingdom of heaven, because eternity awaits. Amen. Amen. Listen, don't count on this life. Don't count on your effort. Just count on his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. And Lord, let your word just do its work in all of our lives. Touch people. Help us to understand that it's not about us. Help us to understand that as we do things at your word and we keep your word, then we get to know who you are. A revelation of who you are, your majesty, your deity, your beautiful, your power. And finally, a revelation of your heart, where it's no longer about us, it's about the people that you have sent us to in order to be the hands of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, the heart of Jesus, the voice of Jesus. Father, that's what we need. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.